This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. There was an art opening at a gallery in New York City last night featuring the works of Pennsylvania artist Jesse Crimes, work created on the sly behind bars during his nearly 6 years in prison. As it happens, his New York opening comes in the same week that JPMorgan Chase agreed to pay nearly $500,000 to settle a lawsuit by former inmates who said the prison issued debit cards they were given with maybe $70, $100, or maybe $200 to help inmates get back on their feet upon their release, charged exorbitant, sometimes hidden fees. Mr. Crimes, the artist, was the lead plaintiff in that case, and he joined us at our New York bureau.
So first off, when I opened the envelope, the card has a mugshot picture of yourself on the front of the card. You know, you're going to be identified as a convicted felon for every purchase that you make, and you already feel really stigmatized. So this is just another kind of reinforcement of that. So typically you get the card and you want to maybe stop and get some snacks because you haven't eaten real food in 5, 10, 15 years. So you stop, you use the card, maybe you pull some money out so that you have cash once you're in the halfway house. So you don't notice anything right away because you have a very small window of time to get to that halfway house.
But then as you start looking at the details of this card, there's some other features of it that you find problematic.
Yeah, so it took me a while to figure out that, you know, they were actually charging these exorbitant fees because when you're in a halfway house, you don't have access to the internet or a computer either. So you're using this card the whole time, you know, without any real understanding of the fees that are being charged to you. Because even if you go to an ATM and you withdraw money, it only lists the actual ATM surcharge, not the fees from Chase Bank itself.
But it turns out you're getting dinged right and left.
Yeah, so if you want to check your account, there's a 45-cent surcharge. And then, you know, if you withdraw your money from a bank teller, even if you go to a JPMorgan Chase bank, they're charging you $10 fees just to withdraw your own money from the bank, which to begin with, it wasn't much. But I wanted to make sure I used every cent of that money because I needed it. You know, I didn't have a job. You know, going through the prison system itself was already this extremely dehumanizing experience. And to be released and then, you know, be preyed upon by this large, wealthy bank just really rubbed me the wrong way.
So there's news this week that JPMorgan Chase has agreed to pay, let me see the figure here, $446,822, essentially a restitution of the fees that prisoners and former prisoners paid. How'd that make you feel when that news broke?
Good. I mean, obviously, it's kind of a drop in the bucket for Chase Bank. But again, it's not about that for me. It's not about the final sum. It's about setting a precedent to, you know, curtail this predatory practice that they had going on with the Federal Bureau of Prisons and the United States Treasury Department. So, you know, it felt really good to be able to not only stand up to this bank, but be able to kind of recoup these fees for everyone else who's been released from federal prison.
Now, you had an opening in New York last night, was the reception, Marking Time in America, The Prison Works, 2009-2013. Give us just a taste of the media that you work in.
Particularly all of the works that are in this show were made when I was in federal prison. So over my 6 years of incarceration, I made various bodies of work using the materials of the prison to kind of reveal some of these hidden systems and structures and power dynamics that were being enacted upon me and the other inmates, you know, within the prison system.
Now, obviously, you don't have access to formal art materials, so give us a sense. I've seen a little bit of this. It's fascinating. What did you use?
Yeah, so you don't have access to normal materials, so I began the first project, Purgatory. I began collecting prison-issued soap and carving them down into these little slivers of soap that I would then transfer images of offenders out of the newspaper onto the surface of the soap and then house them in these half decks of playing cards that I would cut through using the interior of a AAA battery as a cutting device because, again, you can't have...
Not supposed to have sharp stuff, yeah.
So I would cut out the faces of the kings, jacks, and queens and adhere these cards together to create little containers. And then I would place the soaps within these containers and smuggle them out through the postal service.
And so that's part of it. And also what you used, prison bed sheets?
Yeah. And then so the reason I selected this material is because it's also produced in prison in a program called UNICOR, which is the Federal Bureau of Prisons production arm. And they use inmate labor to not only produce these sheets and other materials to keep the prison self-sustainable, but they have long since branched out into making other products like furniture and electronics and even solar panels. And they frame this production in the sense of teaching inmates good work habits and training them in skills that they can use once they come home. However, you know, most people are serving a really long time. So these guys are made to work at anywhere from 23 cents to $1.17 an hour over really long extended periods of time. And who knows if these skills are even transferable once you come home. So a lot of times your criminal record will exclude you from certain jobs anyway. So there's this very large confined workforce within the federal prison system. And these facilities, these UNICOR facilities, are spread all across the country. And they make millions of dollars in profits every year.
By the way, that prison labor pay rate puts into perspective the fee you were charged for checking your prison-issued debit card balance. For people in prison, they had to work a long time for 45 cents.
Exactly. And spread over 2.2 million people in prison. You know, the United States has the highest rate of incarceration in the world. So it is a massive workforce that is confined and doesn't have access to basically any human rights.
By the way, dare I ask how you got a prison bedsheet canvas out of the prison? I mean, it's a big piece of fabric.
Yeah, so the piece that I ended up making in the end was 15 feet tall and 40 feet long, and it's comprised of 39 individual prison bedsheets. So I would go through and transfer the imagery out of the newspaper onto the bedsheets and then blend them together with colored pencil. And to transfer the images, I was using hair gel and a plastic spoon, again, not having access to materials. But the way that I got them out was that I established art classes while I was inside. So I had access to a catalog in order to order materials to facilitate this class. And I ordered a roll of canvas out of the catalog with no real intention of actually using that canvas as a material. So once I received that order, I took the labels off the canvas off the roll, and then I put my prison bed sheets on the roll and put the labels back on the prison bed sheets. The guards had no idea that this was contraband, basically, that this was federal property. And I could basically make my works and mail them out with right in front of their eyes without them even seeing what was going on.
Jesse Crime's New York exhibit is now up at Burning in Water Art in New York City. Jesse Crime's, thank you.
Thank you.